Hey, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, the great Nick Roush from Kentucky Sports Radio. Howdy. Nick, how you doing, brother?
I'm ripping, I'm roaring. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm a little nervous for today's show. It's just, you know, the folks down in Athens, they ask who's that train coming down the track. Well, it feels like there's a locomotive and it's about to just go right through my forehead in the form of the Tennessee Volunteers. Hey, but they lost. They're losers right now. So you know what? You're a loser today, Michael. A winner. You got to wait a few more days for that.
And you called that too. You said, "Hell, there's one game on there. No shot in hell. They got
October."
And you nailed it. Bama whooping Tennessee's ass. Let's bring some positivity to Roush's life. How big was that smile on Saturday night as Tennessee threw a damn pick six on the goal line, ran a play action with no receivers out there? Genius call by you, Heupel. How hard did you laugh at that, at least?
Some of the greatest joys I get are when I think about Jarrett Garantano starting at quarterback for Tennessee and immediate flashbacks, right? Like that was identical, except Garantano's was funnier because he single-handedly just said, "I'm going to quarterback sneak this on my own and try to reach across the goal line." So that was funnier. And especially you got to give the Alabama guy credit too for kind of baiting him into it, knowing this is what I got. So let me dare him to throw it. Aguilar, you can't miss from behind. And that's exactly what he did. Off to the races. I thought he might run out of steam, but did not get caught. We did not have a James Harrison situation on the sideline. The other part of it, too, is I think everybody knew that it was over, but you do have to credit Alabama for not just – it's easy to let your guard down after that.
Right.
I mean, it's human nature. You get a 99-yard pick six, 14-point swing, instead of what might be a tie ball game, or I guess it would have been a cut it to two because of that safety. Instead of cutting it to two – now you're looking at a 16-point lead right before half. Like, that's a huge swing. It would have been easy to take their foot off the gas, but credit Bama. They didn't. And, man, your favorite, your Crimson Tide, man, they're rolling. They are rolling, and the cigar smoke was filling the air. That I would like for a Tennessee fan to file some sort of class action lawsuit, like a secondhand smoke. I got lung cancer because – because I watched Alabama beat my team so much that they were smoking cigars around me and it gave me cancer.
I thought you were going to say the refs, because it's hard to beat Alabama and the refs down in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, okay. Are you an Auburn fan now? Blame the refs? What, did Auburn have somebody to blame for this week?
Well, certainly the kicker. We could blame his ass. But, you know, they'll find someone to blame. But, hey, you made me think of something. I think you'll get a kick out of this as well. Old, I don't know if you've seen this, but old Jarrett Garantano, he's making like a comeback.
Yeah.
He's got a YouTube channel. It's doing real well. He's doing a lot of Knoxville radio and he's doing podcasts and stuff. And I always liked the guy. Obviously it didn't work out well for him at Tennessee, but, to my knowledge, I've never did anything against the guy. I never called him out, you know, too harshly. Maybe if he had a horrible game, I'd say, well, it was a horrible game, but I think that's fair. I'm very careful to not call out the players because I'm not a big fan of that.
You haven't turned that corner yet?
No. The only thing I would do with him, it's basically his name, right? If he would throw like a horrific interception, I would tweet, Garantano.
I did that
many times. But point being, I found out this week, and this probably goes back probably to his playing days, I don't know, but I blocked. Meanwhile, Cousin Shane MF the guy for about 50 episodes of this show. You could go see Shane just MF that guy, get the hell out of here, never want to see his ass. And Shane last week was like, "You think we can get him?" So when I found out I was blocked, I was like, "I'm probably not."
I would love to hear some of his analysis. I'm sure it's great stuff, like don't throw it to the other team. He didn't do that against Kentucky, though. And for that, I thank you. My favorite Tennessee quarterback, bar none, without a doubt. Just put him in the ring of honor, right? Let's get his jersey hanging up at Neyland Stadium. Can you name where Jared Garantano finished his career?
Did he go back to Rutgers?
For some reason, I wanted to say Oregon State.
Wow. What a throwback if that's where he really went.
Washington State. Ah,
okay.
So close. No cigar.
They're basically the same thing.
Right. Exactly. Oh, man. I will say, though, I have changed my stance on the whole we're not going to be mean to players thing.
Okay.
They're paid now. I mean, they make a lot of money for people to call them out. I mean, you know, there was already a big enough spotlight on them from the jump, and there's a lot of good that comes from that spotlight. So you got to take the bad with the good. And if I got to have you, Vol Tinker, and all you other Vol and Angels, and all you guys in my mentions, I'm not getting paid as nearly as much as they are. So I can call them out when they're bad. One player in particular I'd like to call out, Dante Dowdell, Kentucky running back. What makes you think you can jump over a line into the end zone? Just what? In what world is that a thing? I mean, Walter Payton was good at it in 1985. Mike, when was the last time you even remember somebody jumping over? I mean, guys hurdle people. Like, Knowshon Moreno, I still remember the first time Knowshon Moreno hurdled a guy. I was like, what is this witchcraft? I thought he was the best running back ever. Turns out Georgia had like 10 more of them that were in succession that were significantly better than Moreno. But
right.
But Dante Dowdell, you got Kentucky. They probably overspend. They did a lot of overspending in the portal. But they basically said, hey, you're the best short yardage back in the Big Ten. We suck in short yardage. We're going to go get you. Go fix our issues. Kentucky has the ball 2 yards to go on third down in the first drive. Can't get it. Last drive of the game in overtime, 2 yards to get. Can't get it. He tries jumping over the top twice. First down doesn't do anything. So.
Mm. I mean, once again, Bush Hamden strikes, doesn't he? I mean, how gut-wrenching, whatever the word is, was that? And can Kentucky get off the mat? Because, buddy, they had that one. They had it. Cool. And I'm sure you've seen this, but this is the Texas drive chart. This is like the most horrendous drive chart I've ever seen in a conference game.
The only one I can remember that was worse was in the second half of the 2018 game, Kentucky-Missouri. Drew Locke was quarterback, and I think Derek Dooley might have been the play caller for Mizzou.
Was that the 20-play drive?
Missouri went 3 and out in every single possession of the second half. Every single possession. I've never seen anything like that. Don't know if I'll see anything like that since. But Kentucky, I mean, didn't they win though? Sorry?
Who won that game?
Kentucky won on untimed down. They got a PI. Lynn Bowden had a punt return touchdown.
I remember that day.
He had the penalty, and then zeros on the clock. They threw it to CJ Conrad 1-1. And Kentucky played Georgia the next week for the SEC East.
Oh, God.
But, like, they – even when they gave up short fields, Cutter Bowie was getting hit, and he tried throwing it out of bounds. He didn't get enough arm to it. And so he's picked off at, like, the 40. And Kentucky still forces a punt. I mean, the defense – played incredible. Some of that is because Arch Manning is bad at football. He's just not good. He's just not good at the football. But Kentucky's defense played awesome. And then offensively, like, you would have said that Nick Roush was on cocaine or drugs or some. I don't know what. If I would have told you in July at SEC Media Days that Cutter freaking Bowley would be outplaying Arch Manning in a football game, you would have thought I was on Aaron Rodgers' ayahuasca. But Bowling had 300 total yards of offense. He was scrambling well. It looked like he was dead to rights a couple of times, and he got out of there. And sometimes he was dead to rights, and he just waited at the last minute, deliver the ball. Kentucky would keep a drive alive. The craziest part is they are getting a redshirt freshman to play as good a quarterback as we've seen since Will Levis was here. And it's still not good enough to score points because they have zero creativity in the red zone whatsoever. It's so bad. Now – it helps that Texas is, like, if I'm a Texas fan, I'm pissed. And there's a lot to talk about that offense. But, Mike, they're still probably 9-3 at worst because that defense is special teams. I mean, Colin Simmons. God, he was just freaking eating. I mean, that front is awesome. Anthony Hill's awesome. The back end, Jelani McDonald. Like, they have players all over the place. And that defense is very good. It's very hard to run against.
What would you think be their toughest test would be? At Georgia or A&M at home? Or
it's at Georgia and A&M at home. But, like, you can still go 9-3 and play in the Citrus Bowl, and I know that's not what you wanted. But, hell, you steal one of those games, and you're winning. Like, Vandy, I know we're going to get into Vandy, but, like, you can still win that game if you're Texas. But, you know, I've seen some bad offenses over the years. Right? I cover Mark Stoops' football team. Do you know how many straight SEC games they haven't scored 27 points?
No.
18. 18 games. I believe that also is the same number of games where they haven't scored two offensive touchdowns, in a game. They can't score two offensive touchdowns in a game. They held Texas to 16 points, which, by the way, that's their average in against power conference foes, is 16 points. And it's technically 13 because they got the field goal in overtime. They went backwards. Because that offense is just so bad right now. Mm-hmm. But Texas's defense and special teams will probably be good enough for them to be 9-3 at worst, 10-2.
Hey, and not to rub salt in the wound or anything, but the punt return, by Niblett.
Yeah.
Am I wrong thinking that I thought that was executed great by Kentucky? It was like a sky punt. They got a guy literally in his face.
Whipped it.
And he just, if he makes that tackle, game's not never that simple, but if Kentucky just makes one tackle, yeah. I think they win that game, don't you?
No, they at least give themselves a chance to get off the field and then drive down, which they did. Like,
right.
Credit to Cutter Bowley, 3 straight 2-minute possessions. He's at least got them with a chance for a kick. Now, they missed two of them. They missed one at the end of half at Georgia and at the end of half against Texas, but Bowley's been good, man. He's been pretty darn good. And it's funny too, Mike. I didn't realize this at the time, but the guy who did whiff on that tackle, not the starting gunner. The starting gunner for the last 2 years is hurt. And there's a reason that he went from potentially a starting cornerback to potentially a starting nickel to the backup gunner. And I don't know how much he's going to be playing moving forward. And that was the point that Stoops made too, because a lot of people are like, "Well, why'd you even punt to him?" It's like you can't. When you directional punt, if you kick it the wrong way, you're probably giving up a return touchdown. Right. So that can get you in trouble. And secondly, if you tell him to punt out of bounds, what if he just shanks it because he's trying to go out of bounds, and then it's a 20-yard punt? You're just waving the white flag. Kentucky had a top 10 punt return punt coverage unit in the country before this game, and then Texas went and had 88 punt return yards. They only had 179 in the game. So that's pretty crazy. It did. I know people don't care as much about the X's and O's of that game as much as just like, wow, Arch stinks. Wow, Stoops is done. But that did, Mike, feel like kind of a last – Stoops' last chance at a big win for fans that could maybe rally the troops and start something new. Because – Kentucky is admittedly improving. You know, a lot of it's because of Cutter Bowley, but it's a bottom line business. He said it after the game, and the bottom line is they are one of 3 power conference teams that hasn't won a power conference game since, I think, October of last year. And Purdue's Ryan Walters got fired, and Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy got fired. So it feels like we've reached the end of the road for the Stoops era. And
could Tennessee be the one that eliminates him? Or is he so tenured and respected that they're going to let him play it out and hopefully get another job?
Yeah, I think they would let him play it out because there is the hope that, like, hey, you beat an interim Florida, right? You beat a Louisville team that's your rival, and you somehow look up and there's 5 wins. A Virginia Tech might be interested. I know we talked about that previously. And there's also the part of just the respect factor. I mean, right. He is your winningest coach of all time. And he rubbed fans the wrong way. Not in the same way that Mike Gundy just called his fans poor. He, like, insulted them. So, you know, he was on much thinner ice with amongst the fan base. Whereas here, it's there is an angry portion, but it's almost the, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Because that's what it all boils down to, is the way that Mark Stoops won football games at Kentucky for years. It's not good enough to win, or else he would have beat Texas. He would have beat Georgia last year, right? Like, they played darn near perfect, the exact way that they want to play, and they still lost to a team that's probably – Texas, probably the sixth best team in the SEC, if that.
Not even, I wouldn't think.
What were they in this week's power rankings, Mike?
I moved them down after that performance, but right now,
moved down after a win.
12. I got them in the
12.
SEC. aside from Oklahoma, which I think was a fluke because the quarterback was hurt. They've not done anything to show me otherwise.
So this is a take that I've been baking for a while. I've been putting some sprinkles on it and trying to let it marinate a little bit. If I put Taylen Green on Texas's team, would the offense be good, or is Sark just way overrated and it really doesn't matter who's his quarterback?
I've always said he's overrated, and people think I'm like damn crazy. Like, how these people get, you know, if you just look at the lists of like best coaches in the country, he's in literally everybody's top like four. At least in the offseason, he was. And now I think that's a product of Saban retiring and Harbaugh. So people naturally move up. But
right.
I don't know, man. I'm not trying to, excuse me, totally discredit the guy, because he's done a really good, he's done a better job than I thought he would at Texas. But he's got all the resources in the world. He's Billy Lucci, love that guy, right?
Yeah.
Biggest Texas hater in the damn world. But he says this, and it's 100% truth, and I never realized it till he said it. Texas had the benefit for multiple years of telling people, come play for an SEC program. Of course, we get a Big 12 schedule, though. I mean, he could do that for 3 years, mm-hmm. and I think he worked it perfectly, and he built a really good team. And they did come in here and whoop some ass, but again – He loses seemingly every big game. He really does. Now, he beat Alabama that one time.
Yep.
He loses seemingly every matchup, I guess, a team with equal or better talent, he loses.
The thing for me, it's less about head coaching acumen and talent acquisition. It's more of his label as this offensive whiz kid. And it's because he coached an Alabama offense that had a Heisman Trophy winner at wide receiver, who had Jalen Waddle. Who else was in that wide receiver group? I feel like you see a picture of it, and they're all starters in the NFL.
Devonta Smith, Waddle.
Ruggs was on that team.
Ruggs. Najee Harris. Elite offensive line. They didn't test for COVID down there. They literally had one guy miss. Remember that season where like 20 guys are out for everybody else? They had one guy miss one time, and they had Saban miss a game. Remember?
I forgot about it. What a wild time. Like, even Mac Jones, like, he's not great, but he's a fine NFL quarterback. Mac Jones might be the best NFL quarterback that he's coached now. And is that because of the talent, or is it he needed to have a superstar surrounding cast for that team to be awesome? I'm just saying, like, this whole notion that look at the 2 5 stars that he's had recently. They haven't been ready. Like, yours would just go stretches where he just no-showed. He'd be awesome for a half, then he'd suck for a quarter, and then he'd be awesome for a half, right?
Right.
Arch is just – I think that's the most disappointing part of it all. Is it's one thing to some of the freshman mistakes that the first time starter mistakes I expect are like what happened at the end of the half with Cutter Bowley, where there's a free blitzer. He doesn't realize he's hot, doesn't give her the ball, takes a sack when he couldn't, and it turns a 47 yard or a 45 yard field goal into a 53 yarder, right? Like, that's a very freshman mistake. You don't realize you're hot, you don't recognize the blitz, boom. Like, Arch, I think, actually has a decent feel sometimes in the pocket, but he just misses. Like, it's almost the guy who can make a three, but a wide open layup. Like, he can make a contested three, but a wide open layup, he's just hitting the bottom of the rim. I mean, that, like, they're not even close. The There was one where they get an explosive on an RPO. They're going like 30 yards down the field. And then the next play, total coverage bust, wide open tight end. And the dude, it just can't hit him. It's like, right. It would have been a four-play, 75-yard touchdown drive if you just had basic level competence. Arch doesn't have that. And the conversations, I think, in Austin are shifting more towards Sark than and less off of Arch. And, oh, my gosh. Somebody said I look like Morgan Wallen. Did they see my hair?
What? I got spit image.
I'll take it. All right, I guess I'll leave the hat on. Maybe I can do the like the fake visors with the stuff on top.
Yeah. But a Texas fan said this to me, Roush. I didn't believe him. Then I looked it up. But he said, hell, the most productive quarterback Sark's had at Texas is Casey Thompson. I mean, and I looked it up, like, statistically, you know, I'm not going to sit here and bullshit and act like I watch every Casey Thompson game, right, but statistically, yeah, I mean, he is. So I don't know what the hell that means or what that says, but, you know, thank God he hired well on the defensive side because they got, like you said, their defense saving their ass.
And here's the part, and we can transition to it. I think for a while, a lot of people said, well, Ohio State's offense is awesome, or excuse me, Ohio State's defense, one of the best in the country. Florida's got some guys on defense, you know, and then they play Oklahoma, who gets after your ass. A lot of people could kind of say, well, you know, they're playing great units. Like, there's a reason why Arch isn't playing great. Kentucky's just fine defensively. They've been terrible in the weeks leading up to this.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to go out and look as bad, eventually, Mike, when people are trying to tell you who they are, you got to listen. And that's where you were exactly right about the LSU Fighting Tigers. They were trying to tell us who they were. And I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't give up hope because I knew deep down that, hey, they could be explosive, right? Well, this defense is awesome. They create some turnovers. I mean, they kicked a field goal to make it a one-score game with 11 minutes to go, and three and out. Barry and Brown is the same guy that he was at Kentucky. Explosive and flashy, but if you need him to make a play on third down, he's going to drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Vandy did the Vandy thing. They just smashed the Vandy button. They came out hot. They put LSU on their heels, and then they just controlled the ball. The part that shocked me a little bit was, A, that the defense didn't rattle Vandy more, that they couldn't. And that's I think that's really just a testament to Pavia.
To Tim Beck, the offensive coordinator, scheming it up, you know?
Yeah, like that was the part of the game that shocked me. But the part that didn't, though, was – and that's why I didn't bet him, and I think I mentioned it on this show. I mentioned it on some show last week. But LSU messing around in the red zone – because they can't run the football, was going to bite them against Vanderbilt. And kicking field goals when you're at the 25-yard line is how you lose games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. They did a lot of kicking field goals. And then 39 seconds left, you give the ball back to Vanderbilt and you let them score? Like, what? What? As good as Blake Baker has been, and that's probably not his fault either, is that you ask everything for Blake Baker to do, and I mean, before the season, if I told you that LSU had to score 35 points to win a football game, you'd probably say, "Huh, no problem." Well, it's a big problem for Brian Kelly, and that is just...
Would it surprise you if he is not the coach at LSU next year?
No, not at all. I wouldn't say I'm expecting it, and I would give it a lesser than 50% chance probably that it happens, but this feels like they can't fire him, but... I mean, I think
what they'll do is they'll make him get a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but I could also see him. He's a salty, stubborn ass.
Yeah.
But I could see him looking around at all these jobs that are opening up. And no, he's not going to get the Florida job. But who's to say that Penn State wouldn't want him? I mean, if I'm Penn State, do I want Matt Rhule or Brian Kelly? Not Matt Rhule. Who wants that fatso? Well, no offense. to our overweight Americans, but that bozo is James Franklin light. He only loses big games. He got his ass kicked by Minnesota. They haven't run the ball all year, and they just ran for like 200 yards against him. Matt Rhule is a program builder. He does not need to do that at Penn State. He does not need to build or rebuild anything. He had to do that at Nebraska. He's going to get him to be competent. He is terrible for that job. Now, Brian Kelly, maybe going back to the Big Ten helps him because the Big Ten is kind of like the old SEC. I feel like the leagues have reversed, whereas for the longest time, yes, Ohio State and Michigan were near the top, but there was this mix in the middle of Wisconsin's and Iowa's and Michigan State's and Penn State's where you kind of didn't know what was going to happen each week, and it was kind of chaotic. And then in the SEC, Bama and Georgia were just murdering everybody. LSU would get in the mix every once in a while, maybe an Auburn would. But there was dominant teams at the top and then other teams trying to play catch-up. Now it's the opposite, whereas the Big Ten has three teams at the top, two clear ones with Indiana and Ohio State, which is just hilarious to say out loud. And then in the SEC every week, it is just roll the dice. Right, like you're kind of like there's a lot of great teams in the middle. You think Georgia and Bama are still at the top, but the margin isn't that much crazier. I mean, Ole Miss had Georgia on the ropes for a good chunk of that game on Saturday. So, like in my mind, it would make sense if Brian Kelly was like, "Man, I don't know if I want to do this anymore," because what was already a weird culture fit and a weird like that was always a weird fit. It's only going to get weirder, and it just feels off. It just feels off, and I hate it for LSU fans. I really do because they had a team that looked like they could compete for a national title this year.
Yeah, and the Big Ten team you didn't mention that I don't know how much sense this makes, but I think he would, you know, it's a lesser job, but I think he's staying away from the mob. He's staying from the hot seat. He'll make good money, and he could compete. UCLA, how about that?
Ooh.
Which you don't even think of that as Big Ten, but it is.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I wonder too, I know the guy at Wisconsin said something of like, we're going to support Luke Fickle.
Right.
That's a very attractive job for anybody because our whole lives they've just been running the damn ball and going to Rose Bowl once every 5 years, you know? I mean, it's just a high floor sort of program. UCLA would be weird. I mean, you know, you had Chip Kelly out there for a while, and they kind of had it rocking and rolling. I could just see Kelly trying to just get out.
BK and Lincoln Riley, the two most despised coaches in the same city, you know, that doesn't care about college football.
Oh, man, playing an empty L.A. Coliseum, an empty Rose Bowl. I still just – Oklahoma fans, you deserve credit for not only putting it on South Carolina on Saturday, really taking care of business, doing what you needed to do. Tebow is one of my favorite nicknames ever. I mean, it's every time I see Message Board Genius come up with something where they're talking about Tebow online, not Tim Tebow. We're talking about that bitch out west, Lincoln Riley. Hilarious. Just such a you really got him, you know? You really did. It's great. I love it.
Just like, and we got SEC Shaw, Nick. He gifted a membership to Joe Seliff, Joe, welcome to the family. Appreciate you, buddy. And we also got JR, loyal ass JR. Nick, he's here every episode, gifting memberships, blessing us, cousins.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted to, trying to find it. Here we go. Deborah P. Deborah, welcome to the family. We appreciate you. We got a couple super chats here, Nick. Fatal Recoil, appreciate you. Your thoughts on a yearly SEC versus Big Ten tourney to earn an additional college football playoff spot based on where you finished your conference the prior season. So number one, and so on. Majority of the winner earns a spot. That'd be a little wild.
You can't do tournament, though. It's too many games.
Well, not that, and I think the Big Ten is too gutless. Because they know they would lose the majority of these.
Yeah, my thing too, and whenever Petiti was doing his TV executive thing, because that's what he is. He's not a conference commissioner. He's a TV executive.
Right.
his idea of essentially creating play-in games sounds good on paper, but don't we already have those? I don't like championship weekend because the SEC is the only league that's typically competitive. I know last year Clemson and SMU went down to the wire, and Penn State and Oregon were more competitive than I think most expected. But usually it's five games and only one of them's worth a damn. You hope maybe the American Conference gets a little wonky with Memphis and USF or something like that. But so while from
he's breaking stuff. He's getting fired up. I got a little
too handsy with my mic. So, like, on the one hand, I like the – from a practical standpoint, I like the idea of having more games that mean something that would probably be more competitive. On the other hand, I just – that weekend's kind of a I'm content with that weekend only being four games because the other games are so awesome. I mean, we haven't – we're probably starting to get to playoff eliminators. It felt like Vandy eliminated LSU last Saturday. So I don't think you need to add more meaningful games. There's still plenty of them throughout the regular season. Now, does that the other part of this too, Mike, is you know that when we go to the schedule, I haven't kept up with it for as many other teams because mine, you know, already plays one of them. But they all got to play another power conference team.
Right.
Some of them have those neutral sites set up, but I would imagine that we're going to get more like Michigan, Oklahoma's that we got earlier this year. And here's the other part too. Do I really need to see Oklahoma's a bad example, but who's probably the fourth team fighting for a playoff?
Out of the SEC?
Yeah, who'd be in the SEC? Because it'd be USC in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Versus see,
up here at the top, people never attention to detail, Nick, is what I believe in. Nobody ever pays attention, though. So I got them ranked in order. So we got A&M 1, technically Bama tied, Georgia 3, so Ole Miss, and believe it or not, Texas right now. So if you're asking who's fourth right now in the SEC, Ole Miss.
I don't want to see Ole Miss play USC. I mean, I do. But do I need it for a playoff spot? USC doesn't deserve that. They don't. They're not a playoff team this year. It should be more SEC teams because there's more up there.
Right.
I'm just fascinated by who wins the war of attrition because it's gonna get hot and heavy. I worry about Oklahoma in the war of attrition, they did bounce back with South Carolina.
Do you Auburn, follow? Sorry to cut you off. Do you follow Dave Bartu at all? CFB Matrix.
No, I need to though.
He's phenomenal. So he's the one that does, he does a lot of, coach, he does coach grading. It's, and he helps with these search firms, give them identification on coaches, not just head coaches, but position coaches, coordinators. He does a really good job. I have him on the show pretty often. And then he had an idea about a year ago, which I thought was fascinating. He said, eliminate all FCS games, just nothing but power games, which is what a lot of people want. And he said, here's what you do. You have, everybody has 3 to 4 non-conference, right?
Yeah.
The teams, whoever has the best records, like let's say Ole Miss, just as an example, let's say they go 4-0 and they're playing Big Ten and Big 12 and all this. That's how we'll decide half the playoff teams. And I was like, that's kind of interesting, but it's non-conference versus non-conference. So whoever's coming out on top, you know, that's who we're going to give half the playoff to. And then the other half would be determined by, all right, now we get into the SEC season and whoever finishes first and second, they get to go to the playoff. And we do that for all the conferences. So it's based on non-conference. It's based on how you do in the conference. I mean, that's a wild idea, but it's kind of interesting.
It's interesting, but the issue that I have with it is that not all non-conference games are made the same. You know, you play who's in front of you, right? Like, I can't blame Drink for just continuing to rack up wins because that's – you got to play who you got to play. But even if you get some of these power conference teams outside of the league, I mean – You could have a game scheduled with Penn State and you'd be playing this year's, the version right now of Penn State. And that's right. A walk in the park. You know what I mean? So, like, that's where I do like the nuance of a selection committee. And I'm also, you know, the Kentucky basketball guy. Like, I like a good selection committee. Selection Sunday, talking snubs. It's fun. It's fun. Good, clean fun. He's asking, who would Kentucky play for the worst in the SEC? I think the most disappointing team without a doubt is Auburn, because there's talent on that roster. A lot of those guys are playing on Sundays. They are unequivocally the least talented or the most disappointing team in the SEC. I don't know who the worst is though, because Kentucky would get their ass, like they could not keep up with Arkansas. They would get run off the field by Arkansas.
Right.
I really think it's South Carolina, because Mike Shula. I know Shane. Jack. I made a change last week. Mike Shula stinks. It was a terrible hire, Shane Beamer. What were you doing? I know you got criticized for Dow Loggins, but that turned out to be an awesome hire, an outside of the box hire. Mike Shula was not. That was an easy one, and he's already on your staff. Well, he knows the stuff. It'll be the same. No, he just sucks at his job. And the other part, too, is you didn't really get anybody to help out Sellers at all. You have no run game at all. You relied on some 25, 28-year-old Rasul Faison to get a break, and he's no good. You needed, like, a waiver to be able to get that guy to play. I mean, I just – South Carolina, to me, I said it to some Gamecock fans down there. They were like, Kentucky's the worst team in the SEC. And I was like, well, if you lose to Kentucky, that felt like the battle for the worst team in the SEC. Kentucky gave them two defensive touchdowns, and it was decided in a heartbeat. But I feel for Lenore Sellers because, man, he's got to do it all. He's got to do it all and then some. Is Dylan Stewart going to be out for a while? I know he tried to come back but then couldn't. Are they going to?
I don't know. Beamer will meet with the media here in a little bit. Hopefully he'll clear that up a little bit. But, you know, that's huge for them. But when you just you saying him hiring Dow Loggins, I don't know if I bet you do remember this. But you remember when he got hired?
Yeah. Oh, that was because in hand up, Dow Loggins was on a short list of candidates for one of Mark Stoops' 100 offensive coordinator coaching searches. And I remember thinking, really? This Arkansas tight ends coach for Sam Pittman? I know he was in the NFL, but, like, really? And then when he hired him, I thought it was hilarious. Because even in the NFL, his NFL guys weren't any good. And
24/7 wrote an article.
Wrote what I would have written, what anybody would have written, and Beamer got so mad about it. Oh, God.
24/7 had an article. I think it was a couple years old, but it was, like, the worst play callers in the NFL, and Loggins was, like, 31 or 32 or something.
Oh, man. I do got to give credit, though. Woo Pig. First off, I can't remember a game being delayed on the front end quite like that ever before. So that was a little weird. That Arkansas defense is just so porous. But I know I called for the upset, but they covered, man, and they didn't even do the cover play. I was in the press box hollering at Bobby, like, this is why you're an interim, because he wouldn't just kick the field goal. When you're down by 10 with 45 seconds left, you kick the field goal and you try the onside kick, so then you have a chance to score a touchdown. He was saying, no, dadgummit, we're going to run the touchdown play. And you know what? They ran the touchdown play. They got it home. We got the cover late. I don't know who said it. The tweets are all out there, but it was just like, you mean Texas A&M and Arkansas played a weird game that ended with Arkansas losing a one-score game? Some things never change.
Well, hey, and shout out Cousin Kyle. He gave us $10. Beat the hell out of LSU. Giggum. But I'm glad you said that, Nick, because, you know, this is a little off the wall, but what in the hell is up with all these coaches? It's like none of them have any clue anymore on clock management. Kiffin does a good job, and Kirby does a good job, but basically the rest of them. Heupel's just got awful at it now. That Petrino, that was awful. Pittman's always been awful at it. But, I mean, how do they not have someone on staff that helps them with clock management?
So here's the thing. You should not have to hire somebody to help you with clock management, because that is a head coach's number one job, is clock management. You take the timeouts. I think the bigger question is, for some of them, is they just aren't decisive enough, and they probably aren't rehearsed well enough in it. Because you got to think about it. How many of them, they go through practice each week. You've seen these guys at practice. They might get up in there during some of the individual drills, but for the most part, they kind of sit in the back while the 11 on 11 is happening. They blow their whistles, and every once in a time, they jump somebody's ass. How often are they going through the ringer, right? How often are they actually simulating situations on what they should do? Because I think a lot of what it comes down to is just hemming and hawing, is they get a little too indecisive. You got to make a decision and go with it. And so I think that's the biggest thing. And there's the other part of it too, Mike. It's, you know, there's a reason why these guys get fired. Because they get kind of mad at some of this stuff.
I don't know if you remember this, but I called this out and people jumped on my ass. But last year against Vanderbilt, Hugh Freeze, Auburn, took a timeout. They stopped Vanderbilt on third down with 2 minutes and 1 second. He called a timeout. So timeout, and then Vanderbilt punted. And then, you know, they didn't get the 2 minute timeout because they, you know, it was a change of possession. And he didn't understand that he was saving 1 second and burning a timeout, you know?
Yeah, that's just Hugh Freeze's brain. you know, I think it's filled with a lot of cream corn and gelatin, because there's not any brains up there. Not in the slightest. Hugh Freeze, he is the disaster that we wanted him to be, that we expected him to be. But the issue with Hugh Freeze is that he was almost in a situation where it's like, man, it's going to be really hard to mess it up. But you know what? You did it, buddy. You did it. You messed it up.
Hugh Freeze froze.
you managed to take one of the best rosters in the Southeastern Conference and just throw up all over yourself. So well done. I commend you. I tip your cap. You get to let Drinkwitz celebrate all over your face. You get to jump up and fire up the crowd. Just really rub your nose in it. Right? Like, you're the dog that ate the garbage, threw it up, and then now you got to get your nose rubbed in it. Oh, man. What a disaster on the plains. It's almost like nobody could have seen this coming, Mike. I don't know anybody who could have seen this coming.
No one's been calling it out since the day he was hired. I mean, when they literally took away his Twitter, you can run this football program, but you can't run your Twitter. I said, what in the fuck are we doing here? This is ridiculous. And this, you know, you deserve everything that comes your way. And I don't hate Auburn or their fans, but they're going to be better off. I mean, hell, he should already been fired. But when he gets fired on Sunday, they're going to be in a better place.
I mean, for him to do I'd love to get a show of support from John Cohen. It's like, well, John Cohen's car didn't start this morning, brother. He lost his keys. I don't think he wants to talk to your ass because you're stinking it up.
You know what could really help him though, Nick? I don't know if you're familiar with this product yet, but you should go check them out. Bubs Naturals. Go check them out. BubsNaturals.com. The promo code is that SEC to get you 20% off your full order here, Nick. This is natural collagen peptides. That's why I got so much pep in my step. Freeze, why he doesn't, why his ass froze, because he ain't got Bubs Naturals. Bub Naturals, promo code that SEC, 20% off. No junk, no sugar, no sweetener, no filler.
Ooh, that's big.
Third-party tested. I mean, this dissolves in coffee, water, or smoothies. That's what I'm talking about, Nick. So go check them out. Bubs Naturals, 20% off with that promo code that SEC, natural peptides. And, man, I think if Hugh Freeze had been taking some Bubs, Nick, I'd say their record is 6-1 at worst.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
5-2.
Yeah. Okay. Bumps can do a lot for you, right? But I don't know. I don't know if it can win you Freeze that many more games. Sugar Free, though, that's clutch, because you're getting healthy and you're not adding the junk to you. I mean, that's.
I need all the less sugar I could get by life, you know?
I still haven't quite learned what a peptide is, although I know it's very good for you. you know, probably make me look a little less rough, like Morgan Wallen, as one person pointed out. It just means I look like I've been on a bender.
I mean, I can sum it up like this. Does Shane eat it? No, it's probably good for you. Hey, shout out Fatal Recoil. He gave us another donation. Tired of hearing from media that a one-loss Big Ten should earn a spot over a three-loss SEC. Big Ten team loses the one good game they have versus, let's say, Missouri, loses to Bama, Vandy, and A&M. I mean, I'm 1,000% in agreement with you.
I just don't know who that one loss Big Ten team is. I mean, they're gonna have some losses. Like Oregon, obviously, is going to get in because they're good, right? If they only have one loss, they're definitely going to get in. If your only loss is to an undefeated Indiana team at home, so that's my thing. That's why I'm out on auto bids. I don't like auto bids because this is a year where I think there's only three good Big Ten teams, and then they should not automatically get a fourth. What's going to be fascinating is you had Texas Tech lose and you had Miami lose, and then you get into the bid stealer conversation, which that's the – I love it in college basketball conversations, the bid stealing, the bid thieves, where, you know, you – here's a team that's definitely going to make the tournament. They should win their conference tournament, but they get upset, so it loses one for an at-large team. I would be worried less about Big Ten teams than worried about, like, if Louisville somehow wins the ACC. Or, you know what I mean? Like, or if Kansas State, Arizona State, Utah, Baylor, I don't know. One of those teams upsets Texas Tech in the Big 12 title. You feel like you got to put Texas Tech in there. That's the thing that I think would be the biggest concern if you are a Missouri or a Vandy.
Well, how about this one? Because this was pointed out. I don't watch Big Ten, so please pardon my ignorance here. But Ohio State, I know they're God's gift to football, right? They beat Texas, and everybody's like, oh, God, this is team. Well, we turned to find out Texas not very good. They beat Grambling. That's awesome. Ohio. Yeah. Good night. But I guess, you know, they beat Washington. Yay, Minnesota. They beat number 17, Illinois. Penn State's not even ranked anymore.
They've lost four in a row.
Michigan's ranked, but they probably—I don't know if they will be by the, again. This is the example of the 11-1. And I'm not saying Ohio State shouldn't get in. I don't watch them, so I can't really comment. But that could be an 11-1 where you're like, well, who the hell do they beat?
Well, but the issue though is they'll be in the Big Ten championship probably if they are 11-1, and so. I think they set a precedent last year, too, that if you get into the Big Ten title or if you play in one of the SEC or Big Ten conference championship games, we're going to put you in the playoff no matter what.
Hey, shout out Steven in the comments. Peptides are used by your body to build proteins. Ooh, so there you go.
Look at that. Science. we're just making people smarter today. Hugh Freeze. Corn mush for brains.
How about Mizzou fan? Notre Dame shouldn't get a bid unless they are ranked in the top four. They don't have a conference that rules allow them to be in the college football playoff. Yeah, no. I mean, hell, they lost to Miami. They lost to A&M.
My thing is, though, is when it comes to the conference stuff, I'll beat my chest about some of the SEC and the difficulties of it. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame's, they're fun to watch. Now, they aren't the best defensive team. But those running backs, those guys are playing on Sunday. Price and Love, they're awesome. If they went out, they're going to get in. They're also Notre Dame, right? Like, yeah, college football, we're ruled by logos. And I know that was a Mizzou fan, and it's hard when you're not a logo. But here's the other part. You can just keep winning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Drink's been doing. Right now, your only loss is to the best team in the Southeastern Conference. And now, do they go to Vandy this week? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. College game day.
I mean, that's what's great about realignment right now is we have two non-logos playing on college game day, and it's not a playoff eliminator, but the winner is going to be telling themselves that they're in it,
right?
Even though there are some difficult games on schedule. I think we have to say it, Mike, the winner's going to get into the college football playoff.
Absolutely. I think that's fair. And I think the loser, you say it's not an eliminator. I think it is. I mean, technically, no. But if Vanderbilt can't beat Missouri at home, are they winning at Texas,
yeah,
Auburn, Kentucky, and at Tennessee? No. same thing, Missouri. If you can't beat Vanderbilt, and I respect Vanderbilt, I picked every Vanderbilt game right this year. But if you lose that one, you're not turning around and beating A&M, yeah. Mississippi State, who's improved, at Oklahoma, at Arkansas. You're just not winning all of them.
Right. And that's the overall point, is that you give yourself no margin for error if you can't win this game. And that's just – it's the SEC. There's going to be a game where you throw a couple picks, or you fumble going into the end zone, or you do the Josh Heupel play. Okay, wait, can I just for a second – what the fuck, Jeff Levy? Like, what were you doing, dude? Why couldn't you just put Billy out of his misery? Shoot the damn dog. Don't let him limp around. He's dead. Kill him. Why are you throwing the football? What, like, who is he even throwing it to? Right? Like, I get how in a simulated pressure, you can lose a defensive end or a defensive lineman, and you're already covering, so I didn't really care all that much. But, like, there was nobody there. Who was Blake Shaven throwing to? What? I was incensed. Like, it's one thing, the Miami-Louisville game Friday night. Miami kind of needed, like, you would rather play for the win. You had enough time. Keep throwing it. Try to get in the end zone and just win. You don't have to play for overtime. Mississippi State just had to kick it. They were a kick away from winning. You have Fluff Bothwell. That guy's awesome. Turn around and put in that big son bitch's belly and let him run down the field and win the game. Jeff, I mean, that's one of those things, Mike, that if you're living in Starkville and you think, what? I thought we turned a corner, and we still have the longest losing streak in the Southeastern Conference. What? That's one of those that makes you really question, okay, has he been eating some of the Hugh Freeze cream corn and Jell-O, right? Like, what the hell's going on up there?
That's why I say never hire a coach that's not been a head coach. And everybody can point to Kirby Smart as long as they want, but it's just such a challenge to he's still learning on the job, right? And we're in year two. But I don't think that cuts it in this conference. Does it upset you? I'm glad we kind of got here, because I did want to ask you, are you upset that you don't get to play against Billy Napier anymore? November 8th. Does that change anything for Kentucky?
It is kind of fun that Kentucky has a winning record over that guy. I mean, you know, I don't know too many Florida coaches that have a losing record against Kentucky. He might be the only one, actually.
I said the same thing about history. Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean,
the only Florida coach I know that has a losing record to Tennessee. And I think the moment they should have fired him, Nick, was when Kentucky, I believe it was, it may have been in Gainesville, I can't remember, but Kentucky whooped the shit out of Florida, and he said, boys, that's a program we want to be as Florida. They should have fired his ass that day.
That was Kentucky's last SEC win.
No,
2 years ago.
No, they beat Ole Miss.
Oh, sorry. I mean, okay. Last time they scored more than two touchdowns in a game. Okay.
Yeah. I think that was the last Kentucky home SEC win.
Yes, that's what it is. Last Kentucky home SEC win. It's, you know, we got a lot of streaks. I run out of them.
And cousin Rick, yeah, we appreciate you, Rick. He gave us $10. Nick.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, cousin Rick. Gig'em Aggies.
Aggies preparing for the fired coach's player estate sale. Beat the hell out of LSU. Cousin Rick's going to be at that game, so he's fired up for it.
Oh, man.
Any early thoughts on that one, Nick? A&M at LSU?
Okay. And this is me not giving as much credit to LSU as much as me being – I'm still just so – it doesn't feel like A&M's the number three in the team in the country, but like you said last week, Mike, they keep telling you – who they are, you got to listen. And Marcel Reed's ability to push the ball down the field and create explosives has been impressive. And this is a sort of draw the line in the sand game if you're Brian Kelly and LSU. You're going down to Death Valley at night. If A&M wins this game, then it feels like not only are they – contenders to in hell in the driver's seat to play in Atlanta, but then they're like national championship good. I mean, and I I know it shouldn't just be that just because like LSU isn't that great, but I mean, they beat that Notre Dame team on the road too.
Right.
You know, in a crazy game that was back and forth. Who's to say they can't do it? Who? I mean, you had that schedule pulled up. They should. You know, they should be in Atlanta. I don't know how tiebreakers work, but they should.
The only thing I'll disagree with you, I mean, I like everything you just said, but I would prefer LSU be, I would prefer it was Missouri this week and LSU the following, and I'll tell you why. Because then LSU would be that ninth win, that elusive ninth win for Texas, 8-4. So we could display all the narratives. But again, yeah. I kind of kid with that. But yeah, hell, that's what they're doing. They're slaying all the demons this year, and they have not won, Nick, at LSU since they've been a member of the Southeastern Conference.
Wow.
So there's a lot on the line, and I think if they win it, I think they already have, but they've officially moved on from the Jimbo era. You know what I mean?
Who would you rather have as your quarterback, Marcel Reed or Gunnar Stockton?
Man, that's tough. Because they both had their moments.
And they both started the year in that kind of middle of the pack, and they've both been pretty damn good. They're both capable runners.
I think I would give a slight edge to Marcel.
See, and part of me, I've seen Stockton win bigger games at this point. And then,
right. That's fair too.
Mike Bobo. I hope he went on a couple street races to celebrate Saturday night. Cause like that guy, you want to talk about the most hated kind of good. It's such a weird, the relationship between Georgia fans and Bobo is just so fascinating to me. And there are times when I get their grievances, but dude, they're winning freaking shootouts this year, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Gunnar Stockton's making some big throws, and that's I started off with Bobo, but that's a testament to Kirby Smart. It's just like, we're going to find a way to win, by God, even when our defense can't stop a nosebleed. We'll get enough stops, and then our offense will take over late. Georgia's still Georgia. I do think that we're going to get in some weird tiebreaker scenario. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. But I want them to all meet at the gas station and do the coin toss with Elko and Kirby and DeBoer. Can anybody else get in there? I guess Ole Miss, Lane, you know, like they can win out and we get a 4-1 loss SEC. I guess Bama needs another loss. Hugh Freeze will do it. That'll be his like parting gift. I'm gonna lose every SEC game, but by God, I'm gonna beat Bama and we're gonna have some stupid coin toss to determine who's going to be playing in the SEC championship game.
Right. Hey, you referenced Lane. Last thing I wanted to get your thoughts on here. Florida, do you think they can get Lane Kiffin? Apparently that's number one target. And if not him, you know, who do you think Florida should hire?
So I love when people preface this conversation with, I don't know. I don't know what Lane wants to do. He's got a good at Ole Miss. He's built something there. They've treated him right. He tells you that he wants the Florida job. He says out loud, I wanted to grow up to coach like Steve Spurrier. He can go be at the same place where Steve Spurrier still has an office and has the field named after him. I mean, this has been a very badly, poorly kept secret for years, going back to last year. They thought he was going to fire. They were fired Napier after the year, and then it was, well, you do the playoff dance with Lane. Are you going to be able to get him? Yes, I think it's going to happen, and I think it's the right decision too. No offense to Ole Miss, but Florida's a place they can win a national championship. Ole Miss, you can go to the playoff. You aren't winning a title. Sorry.
Mm. Well, you know who'll be happy with that, Nick, will be Mizzou Fan 7, because that means Drake's staying at Missouri. He gifted 10 memberships. Let's honor that before we get out of here.
Wow, shout out to Mizzou Fan 7. I guess he's Mizzou Fan 10.
Yeah. He gifted Matthew Morrison, Seawall Fishing, Sean Mandrill, Brandon Glenn, Hip Hilberto Marr, Mitchell Silver, Colton Reed, Coding Skywalker. What a cool name that is. Robbie Mule and Zeal Gaming. Welcome to the family, to all of you.
Your Tennessee came out there a couple of times. Gilberto.
Well, they're so small, it's hard to read too. Oh, and shout out JR. Is Glenn Schumann the most overrated defense coordinator? Georgia defense has regressed every season he's been here. Just saying.
That's not, you don't see his name coming on hot boards like you used to.
That's true. Hell, shout out B-Dad. He gifted a membership, too. There was a time when old Glenn Schumann was wanted by the Philadelphia Eagles. I guess they just said, well, hell, we'll just take all your players anyway. We don't need you, coach. last one. B-Dad, appreciate you. You gifted Colt, welcome to the family. All right, Nick, before you go, can you remind my audience how to follow you, how to find your work?
So you're going to want to subscribe to the Kentucky Sports Radio YouTube channel, because typically this is the week where Tennessee beats Kentucky and I have a meltdown. But here's the thing, Tennessee fans, you can't hurt me this week, right? I'm already dead inside, and you can't kill what's already dead. So take that. Now, it would be really funny if Joey Aguilar pulled a Jared Garantano, because and I know Heupel, it seems like Kentucky just they can't figure him out at all. He's averaging like 45 points a game. Zero interceptions against Kentucky. But you want to talk about putting Kentucky fans in a pretzel. If Mark Stoops beats Tennessee, I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to be drunk off our asses. It's going to start Saturday night, and it's going to last till Monday. We're going to build our own barrel of beer, and we're going to shove it right up. No, okay, stop that. But just saying, if you want to see an animated Nick Roush, you might see me on the KSR YouTube channel on Saturday night when we go live.
Be honest, a scale of 0 to 10. 0, unlikely, of course, 10, it's going to happen. Where are you at that Kentucky can win this one?
Negative 27. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's good. You can't be disappointed then. You could only be pleasantly surprised. You know what?
Just really tired. Late night. It's 7:45. It's a late one. Old Tom Hart.
All right, Nick, thank you so much. Can't wait for the next Roush Hour next week. Until then, have a great one. We'll be back tonight with Cousin Shane. Same time as always, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.